a time we remember, we should declare these words. Words control our lives. Amen?
Amen.
They do. We should always speak the right words. You have to train ourselves to speak only that which is acceptable in the sight of the Lord, all right? So that when the Lord hears it, he can confirm something good in our lives. All right, so let's go. 1, 2, let's declare the word of God. 1, 2, go.
And declare
that the Lord has given me spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
God will give you insight again today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will speak a specific word. A specific word that will turn your life around. He will speak it to you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When God loves people, what he gives them is correction. A word of wisdom. Something that they were doing wrongly. Something they did not know before. That now they should know so as to turn, you know, move to the next level of their lives. And I'm saying to you, you will receive your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats and continue studying the word of God. We're talking about the rod of God. Let's open our Bibles, our school of prayer. We are talking about the rod of God. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Exodus chapter 14. Now, while you are doing that, you can also quickly open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Exodus chapter 14, first of all, and then we'll read Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll start from verse 13, just because my Bible divides it there. Now, in verse 13, after the people complained to Moses when they saw the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent, or while you hold your peace." In verse 15, the Lord now said to Moses, "What you have said to them is not as accurate as it might seem, even though it sounds very spiritual." The Lord said to Moses, "You have gotten the order wrong this time. I don't want people to just sit down idle. I want them to do something, and you are their champion. You are going to do something on their behalf." In verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, this is what you are going to do. Lift up your staff or lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." The Bible now says that in verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night." Not instantly, it was all night. "And turned the sea into dry land, so that the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right and on their left." Now please note how the sea was divided. Moses stretched out a rod, and that rod divided the sea. He stretched his hand over the sea with the rod of God in his hand. When God called him, we read from Exodus chapter 4, God said, "This rod I have given you, with it, you are going to do signs." And let's go down to Jeremiah chapter 1 again and see quickly what that rod is for us believers. We read the last time, just trying to get our Bible references correct. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "I can't do what you have said because I'm too small. I think you're making a mistake." But God said to Jeremiah, "Do not say I am a youth." That's in verse 7. "Because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I'm sending you somewhere. This is the ability I'm giving you, the words that I put in your mouth. I'm sending you to people that are bigger than you. I'm not telling you to learn any technique of relating with them. I'm just putting my words in your mouth. He said, Now listen, verse 10. I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms by the words I put in your mouth. You understand that? To pluck up and to break down using the words I put in your mouth. To destroy and to overthrow using the same principle. To build and to plant. You will use the words for these things. And I said in verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me saying, What do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Now, you looking at this, God said, What do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. Moses had a rod in his hand. Before we read this matter of rod, you saw God telling Jeremiah again and again, results in life, all right, is not because you learn the methods. It's because my words are in your mouth. I am sending you against people that are greater than you. You will be able to handle them, not because you have learned the skills of human management. You get what I'm saying here. It's not because you have learned all of those things. It's simply because I have put my words in your mouth. He said, the authority I'm giving you in life to succeed, the authority I'm giving you in life to do great things, to take over kingdoms, to pluck them up, to break them down, to destroy them, and to overthrow anything that may stand in your path. The authority I'm giving you is by the words that I put in your mouth. With the same words, you will build and you will plant. Now, this is what we have been looking at, okay? This is how Christians get results. I said to us last time, it is not because of what we ourselves are able to do, but because of what is lifted up over the circumstances of our lives, over the situations. Let's just read this one again. I just feel like reading it. The story of Amalek, when the people came to fight against the people of Israel. Exodus chapter 17. Let's read that one quickly. The Bible says in verse 8, Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff or the rod of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him. He went out to do his business, which was warfare. And he fought against Amalek. And Moses also did as he promised. He, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came about when Moses held up his hand, when he held his hand up with the rod of God in his hand, don't forget, that Israel prevailed. And when he let the rod in his hand and his hand come down, Amalek prevailed. The negative circumstances prevailed. The troubles in the family prevailed. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The sicknesses prevailed. All the troubles around prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Sometimes in life, people's hands will be heavy. Please bear that in mind. Listen, that's something I want to talk about. You know, I've been saying it. Persistence, patience is a major problem we are having as believers. It's not like the world doesn't work. The hands of Moses were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus, his hands bearing the rod of God were steady until the sun set. So Joshua, now because they did this thing, Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, we have read all of these things. Let's just continue talking. This was where we were last time. I want to just say something here. Let me start by a testimony. Somebody spoke, all right, and I heard about it. A man's wife was ill. She was critically ill, and she was going to die. Doctors had given her up for dead, that she was going to die. And then, of course, we human beings are very good people, all right, and it's good that we are good people. Amen? We visit the sick. And it's a good thing. This man also, his friends came to visit. But they said he requested one thing. I don't know whether they said he wrote out scriptures, all right? And said, anybody that's going to talk to his wife, don't tell her, Bele, Ozugo, Ndo, Ogadima. Don't say anything like that. Are you getting my point? Just take a scripture and read. Moses was tired. Aaron had come to visit Moses. What he was helping Moses with was to keep his hands up. Moses was tired. Hur had also come to visit Moses. What he was doing was to help keep the hand up. Not to tell Moses, don't worry. Don't worry, it shall be all right. Don't let Amalek disturb you. What are they saying? No. His own was just help keep my hands up. Don't come here to be telling me any, which is what human beings do. I like the story Carnegie used to tell those days. They will call, it was a sick young man, 17 years of age. He was about to die. And everybody, in fact, it was strange because his mother would ask him, his grandmother, which songs do you want them to take at your funeral? Do you like Amazing Grace? Or you like Stand Up for Jesus? Or Shepherds Watch Their Flock by Night? They were asking the young boy, because the funeral was being planned while he was still alive, who would you like to carry your casket? No, I'm not joking. Those questions were asked of this young boy. Do you want your cousins to carry, or do we hire professionals? And he and his grandmother were planning his funeral, because they told him he could die any time. And he had his younger brother staying in the same room with him, so that if anything, anytime he wants to die, he'll rush out to go and call people that he wants to say goodbye. That's how much they gave him up for dead. And they called ministers to come. So he was reading his Bible. And he had some questions, and he needed ministers to come and help him answer. And at least three different ministers came, and they all said the same thing to him. Don't worry, my boy, it will soon be over. He didn't come to ask, he didn't call them to please come and pray for him, he's about to die. He wanted to know that Mark chapter 11, all right, in verse 23, Jesus said, if you ask anything and you believe, it shall be done unto you. Are you getting my point? Is it true or it is false? Because he was not quick to speak, he was too ill. Before he would talk, they would part his hands and tell him, sorry, it will soon be over. Or in fact, he said, one put on his professional voice. He said, just be patient, my boy. It will soon be all over. And he got up and he left. Now, what I'm trying to say, they all came to console, but they did not console the proper way. Listen, one thing I've been trying to tell Christians recent times, I've been telling myself, when it comes to the word of God, don't reason. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
don't think too much. Just get there and read out the scripture. Just leave the scripture to do its work. Are you getting my point? Let the word of God do its thing. You know, in that situation, this man's faith was being eroded on a daily basis. Why? Because the people did not know how to hold up the rod, all right, in the hands of Moses. The other man I was telling you about, one way or the other, he learned that principle. So he did not let anybody, okay, discourage his wife. When they will go in there, they will just read the scripture. Just read the scripture, and the word has life. That's what we're trying to teach. It has life. If we just persistently release that scripture, it will release the life that's contained in it. The word will go out and gather the things that it's supposed to gather. I've been explaining again and again, the word thinks. It knows what you need even when you don't know it. I hope you're getting my point here. If a man is sick and it's a particular food he needs, so that maybe, for example, he's lacking a particular vitamin and he doesn't know, the doctors don't realize that's what's it, because these vitamin deficiencies, they behave like crazy people. Are you getting my point? You can manifest in an odd way. If that woman will declare the word of God upon that illness, the word knows that the problem is that it's deficient in this thing. It can produce it supernaturally or cause that food to be brought to him for him to eat. Are you getting my point? He can send somebody to him that has the knowledge of what is going on and say to him, listen, oh, you are ill. This is the reason why you are ill. Don't worry about it. It's not a serious thing. Just eat this food for the next 3 days. And it will be God manifesting in his life. You are getting my point. That is the word reasons. The word reasons. If we declare it, it knows. You know, what we used to think is that the word is just a set of methods, of sets of instructions. So that if there's no particular instruction in it, we wonder what I was supposed to do. If you just declare that word, okay, the word knows how to arrange events. It can bring the kind of human help you need. It will bring it to you. All right? It can drive people away from your presence. The word reasons. In this particular situation, that man, it made everybody declare God's word. You know, I told you the testimony before. You know, I've told this story many times, but it still intrigues me anytime You know, I remember it. You know, the thing is so interesting. I was a young, of course, a young guy on campus, but I was Timothy, you know what I'm trying to say? I was the president of my fellowship. Even that time, I was still very young. And, of course, being the boss, forget your age, people will bring problems to you. So I still remember that day, after fellowship, I was standing, we were just doing some things, and this young woman came up to me, and she could see her eyes, she had been crying the whole day. And she just came to tell me that, he said I should pray for her, about what? That they're about to withdraw her from her faculty, from her department. What am I supposed to say in prayer? I don't know whether you're getting my point. I was so confused. I just told her simply, I'll see you later. Okay, what's your room number? She told me her room number. I said, all right, I will see you tomorrow. Well, this was, our fellowships are in the evening, so it's already late. We used to meet from 8 o'clock to like 10. So by this time, it was past 10. Of course, campus, most of us stayed on campus. But it was late to go visiting people. I will see you tomorrow. So tomorrow evening, after my lectures and everything, I went to look for the room. And the young woman was actually waiting. I still remember, I'm so glad I went. But you say, what did I go there to do? I didn't know what to say. Now, sometimes ignorance is good for you. Amen? Experience is bad for you. Because I knew nothing to say, the only thing I could do was to just be quoting scripture. Which some people will now say, get practical. Listen, let me tell you, anybody that tells you get practical, he does not know the word of God. He does not know how it works. Listen, the word of God is practicality in itself. It can handle its own practicality. It's not my job to handle it for him. Are you getting my point? The word of God is described as living and active. It's living, it's alive. Are you getting my point? It can think. But I didn't know all of this since that time. It was just because I knew nothing else to do. And because hands has been laid upon me that you are now the president of this fellowship. Okay? An anointing followed it. So because of that anointing, I was able to do some functions. I just got there that day, I sat down. What news have I brought? Nothing. I just brought out the scripture. I began to read. The Bible says, he himself took our infirmities and our diseases. By his stripes, you have been healed. I don't know what that has to do with academics. I just keep quoting the scripture. You are the head. You are not the tail. I just said something. What I still remember, that picture is still in my head. As I was talking, she was getting lighter. As I was talking, she was getting lighter. I'm telling you the truth. I had nothing to say. Because I had nothing to say, I could only quote scripture. I was just telling her what the Bible says. The scripture says this. As I was talking, she was getting lighter. By the time I was done, I was there for maybe like 15, 20 minutes. By the time I was done, she could hardly sit down with excitement. She was so happy. When she was seeing me off, she was all smiles, all joy. I left there and said, God, over to you. I mean, what has this got to do with somebody about to be withdrawn from her faculty because of poor performance? I've forgotten about it. The word works. I forgot all about it. I don't know how long after. One day I was standing in fellowship again, like we finished fellowship. She just walked up to me. So she wanted to update me on what happened. Okay, what happened? I remember that particular. What happened? He said that when she went to see the dean told her that, okay, if she will repeat this course, repeat this one, and take this one, and take this one, they will not withdraw her again from the faculty. Just wanted me to know. I said, praise God, in my mind, oh, Father God. I remember, I've told that story many times because it's one situation that showed me how the word works. I mean, I was a young student too. What can a student do for you? Sometimes when you have too much connection, that's why the word can't work. Are you getting my point? Assuming my father was a lecturer in the university, an influential person, what's the thing that I would say? I said, don't worry, what faculty are you in? Let me talk to my dad. Maybe he knows your dean. Are you getting my point? I'll have gone home and said, that, good afternoon. There's one of our sisters in fellowship. She's having one problem. I don't know what we are going to do. I don't know whether you can help. Are you getting my point? He said, okay, remind me. Remind you about what? Do you know how many people have problems on campus? There are all kinds of problems now. I will go after some time again. She will ask me, say, okay, how far now? I'm supposed to go home on the weekend. The weekend, I will see my dad. But because I didn't have this option, if I go to, I remember I didn't even discuss with anybody. But what I just remember that day doing, I remember this one very well. Before I left my room, I prayed that God, help me to help this young woman. And when I got there, I guess it was the Holy Spirit just came upon me. But I remember that very well. All I was just doing was teaching her again those things we had learned about the new creation in Christ Jesus. How come we are overcomers in Christ? How all things are passed away? Just talk all of those things. And the word became flesh. and dwelt in the faculty. Are you getting my point? And rearranged events so that that girl stayed in her faculty and she was not withdrawn. That is what I mean when I say the word works. And God said, how do you solve problems? We began that last week. He said, just lift up this word. He gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 4 that with this rod, you will do signs. And we read one of those signs in that chapter 14. It was time to divide the Red Sea. And he said to Moses, why are you shouting and making all this noise and claiming you are praying? Why don't you just lift up that rod and with it, you divide the sea. With that rod, you divide the Red Sea. I don't have to do it myself. I have put the power in your mouth. And that was precisely what God told Jeremiah. Okay? He said, Jeremiah, this is how I've empowered you. You know the truth? Christians love to pray. This is our school of prayer. It was not my idea to start a school of prayer. One day I was just praying in my where I used to live before. I still remember that day. And the idea just came to my head, like start a school of prayer and teach Christians how to pray. Okay? And I know it was the Holy Spirit. And that's why I just came here. Then we used to do school of Bible exegesis. And now came and said, okay, we are starting a school of prayer. And the more we do it, the more I realize why the Holy Spirit wanted us to do it. Because many times Christians don't pray. They cry. They lament. They whine. And the more they whine, the more they think they are praying. Just because they spend time alone and they claim they are talking to God, they think they are praying. But God said to Moses, listen, enough of this noise making. When we started this deal, we said, take a rod. When you find a problem, stretch that rod over it. Use the rod to do signs. And God said, this is what I'm doing for you, my children. Every day you go to study the scriptures. You go to a Bible teaching, all right? You read your Bible. What I'm doing is delivering rods to you. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I'm delivering rods to you. Every rod I give to you confers upon you authority to control certain situations. Are you getting my point? Every time I give you something, the new thing I give you is supposed to control certain situations for you. So anytime you get into a situation, you feel for the appropriate rod. You are getting my point? You fish for the appropriate one. Let's quickly talk about the country. Christians, most of them, they don't lift up rods. Are you getting my point? They complain like the children of Israel. They complain. God didn't arrange things the way they wanted it. They wanted a Christian president. They did not get it. So for the next 4 years or 8 years, the plan is to whine and complain and get up every day, declare about Islamic agenda. Are you getting my point? Let me say it again. I'm going to say this until many people hear it and get converted. It's an Islamic agenda. As if it is wrong to have an agenda. Everybody must have an agenda. Are you getting my point? If you don't have an agenda, you have a problem. And if your neighbor has an agenda, it doesn't mean there's any special thing. Everybody must have an agenda. In your office, people have agenda for promotion. Okay? And if you really believe in your religion, you must have an agenda for propagating it. And God has said clearly, hear the word of the Lord. Do not concern yourself about the Islamic agenda. It is not a strange thing that somebody has an agenda. Even if it's not taking center stage, everybody has an agenda. What you should concern yourself with is your own agenda. Are you getting my point? Have an agenda according to what I have commanded you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the commandment I have given you. Develop an agenda concerning it. Now, over your agenda, I have given you rods. What are the rods you use? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The gates of hell, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a testimony in the book of Acts that the word of God mightily grew and it prevailed. These are the rods we keep over our own agenda. But most people don't know. They are just going around worrying about somebody else's agenda. And let me say it to you again. God will never, listen to me, this is the word of God. This is how it works. He will never stop the Islamic agenda unless there is a super imposing Christian agenda. What ends every agenda in life is a valid, I don't want to use the word godly agenda. It's a valid agenda of the righteousness of God. Let me put it like that. That is the only thing. So all this fighting, say, Islamic agenda will not stand. It will stand. Unless you have your own agenda. I know you are hearing a different kind of gospel. But this is the correct one. This is the correct one. You cannot pray Islamic agenda not to stand. Unless you have your own agenda. Listen, in Europe, even when Islam did not create a good agenda, God helped them with agenda. Yes, no. Germany last year took 1 million Muslim refugees. 1 million in 1 year. 1 million people who are having children. 1 million people who don't believe in contraception. 1 million people who European law says you must settle. And then the Saudis came to help the refugees settle. The king of Saudi Arabia donated money for building of mosques for the refugees. But he didn't take one into his country. He gave millions of dollars to build mosques. And Christians, I said, see you. I said, shut up! Where's your own agenda? You know, people are very funny. They sit down and say, they are coming to the south. Why don't you settle down and say, like one of my friends did in Asaba, started a church for the other people. How many of the churches have carried evangelism to the place? How many churches have gotten up and said, listen, let us go to all these men who dig all over the place, start preaching to them. Many of them, they are nominally Christians. And then the ones that are not, preach to them too. Invite them to church, do banquet, come and eat, come and hear the gospel. At least here, nobody will persecute if you become a Christian. We don't take advantage of that. We'll sit down and be watching and say, they are coming. God will say, okay, preach to them now. You have no Christian agenda, and you say Islamic agenda will not stand. You smoke. The only thing that will make it not stand is what I'm preaching. Is when you get up and develop the agenda of the righteousness of God according to the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, no, we will not be the one retreating. Let them worry about our agenda. We true Christians. Let me not get there. When I get there this, I get stuck. Let me leave that message. So don't leave anything. If they forward that rubbish to you, delete it. No, reply the person. Say, this Islamic agenda, thank God for it. What about the Christian agenda? Where is it? Why don't we drown WhatsApp with our plans? Say, brethren, pray. 25 crusades in 25 northern cities over the next 25 months. Why don't we start circulating that? Our own is at pray that the appointment into Nigerian Post Authority will not stand. Why won't you stand? Men must walk. Give me something better to pray about. When they said circulated, is that about 200 missionaries are going back to Borno State. Pray for their protection. No, we don't get that. What we hear is that there's agenda. Let's get back to our road business. The Lord is good. Listen, when we develop our own agenda, God has given us the rod to carry over it. Is that God is solving problems for us? He said, listen, I empower you with my word. How do you solve situations? Lift up that word over every situation. And this issue, many of the things we are doing in life, last time I talked about, even when it comes to using medical help, that's Joshua in battle. When you are reading for an exam, studying for a promotion, that's Joshua in battle. When you are strategizing for your business, that's Joshua in battle. No matter what Joshua does physically in a battle against Amalek, it will not succeed unless Moses has his hands up with the rod of God in it upon the mountain. And that's what I want to emphasize again today. Lift up that rod and then keep it up. I read this particular portion, Exodus chapter 14, to emphasize something. To emphasize the fact that, just go back there. If you want to pray for Nigeria now concerning any agenda, let me beg you. Let the word Islamic agenda not show up in your mouth for the next few months. Don't pray against Islamic agenda. It's not necessary. Say, Pastor Banky, what are you saying? Okay, two things. One, it's not necessary. Two, the one you prayed before is working. Leave it. God does not allow a vacuum. There must be an agenda. The active agenda is the one that will work. If you like, pray against Islamic agenda. When God stops the Islamic agenda, he will now wait for a few weeks. He said, boys, what do I replace this with? He said, God, we are coming. It's no problem. Wait for a few weeks. Let me tell you something. In heaven, heaven is the judgment throne of God. It's an active place. Very active. People are always coming, presenting petitions and arguments. Always. So if God stops agenda, there are people who have come to petition for the progress of their own agenda. And God is fair. God is not partial. When Satan comes, he didn't get angry. He asked him, what's the problem? Where are you coming from? That's how he behaves. If God is sitting on the throne and everybody comes with the agenda matter, are you following my point? He will listen to everybody, including the chief imam of the mosque in Riyadh. God must listen to him. Otherwise, he's not the judge of the whole earth. As judge of the whole earth, he must listen. And that one will say, we have an agenda. We want to Islamize Nigeria. And God will say, how do you plan to do it? It sounds funny when I'm saying things like this. You don't know what they call God the judge. A judge is totally impartial. Why do you want to do it? And if they give sound arguments and you are not there to defend, if you just go and say, he can't do it, and God says, why not? I don't like it. The Lord will say, find me something better. If the man comes, listen, if the fellow comes regularly and is persistent, God has to avenge him of his adversary. Go and read that scripture. That woman was not a Christian like so. It's just, why did she get it? She was persistent in her coming. When people keep on coming, but you know, Christians are very funny. I love them. They are my brethren. I'm one of them. We always magnify what Muslims are doing. Ramadan is coming. Anytime they pray like this, they get something. And we are afraid. Muslims fast for 40 days. So we are trembling. I got one prayer point today. That was for the first time. Someone said, let's join Ramadan fast. Initially, I was like, what is going on here? But when I began to read the prayer, they said, let's join the fast. They said, we should join the prayers every day. Join Ramadan fast. Pray that Muslims will seek God himself and not religion. Valid prayer point. Pray that Muslims who find Christ in nations that do not have freedom of faith will find ways to be a clear testimony to their relatives and friends. Pray for Muslims who are longing for the greater understanding of God's presence, that they will find him through any possible means. Pray that God will foster greater unity amongst missionaries to Muslims and give clarity about the role of outsiders in supporting the local church. He said, pray for a revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, who is fully able to draw all men, including Muslims, to himself. He says, from Capro. Many of us know about Capro. I said, this is good. This is a Christian agenda. Did you notice? None of them say, pray that the Islamic agenda will not progress. This is the kind of prayer. You can't go to the throne of God and just be fighting somebody else when you have no plans. He said, Lord, I want to pray. Why? My colleague should not pass. He said, if he passes now, he will overtake me. God said, what? What did he say? You see, he's a member of a cult. I don't want him to pass. Because, no, do you think God will answer that question? That prayer point. Think about it. Let me tell you, in case you don't know, he won't answer. He will not answer you. But if you come and pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pass. As I'm reading, let me understand. You'll just be dishing out answer like this. So what about your friend who's in the cult? Ah, Lord, don't mind him. He's blind. Open his eyes. In the name of Jesus, open his eyes. Answer will just be, God, you know, God will just be dishing out answer like this. But when you come and say, in this class, he will not pass. He can't pass. What did he? Angel just said, well, go and cry in that corner. Next. That's how Christians are behaving, you know. I feel like, I'm sure God wants me to say this thing because I'm not going to get back to my message. All right? That's how Christians are behaving. Look, if you are interested, join that 40 days Ramadan fast, those prayers. As you wake up at 5 a.m., you two wake up too. And they say, Allah Akbar, is a God, is a lie. You only. He said, you only. As they are shouting early in the morning, you only are the king. We pray for a revelation. Send laborers, Lord, into the harvest. Send resources. Lord, as they go forth, let your angels surround them. Deliver them the way you delivered Elisha. from the hand of the king. Deliver them the way you deliver Daniel. Deliver the missionaries the way you deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You pray. When you pray like that for a few days, even you say, anointing will enter you, you will become a missionary. That's how to pray agenda. Are you getting my point? This one to getting a knee jerk every time you hear that Buhari makes an appointment. The person is from Adamawa State and is a Muslim. You don't come to church, brethren, let us pray that no more Muslims will get jobs in Nigeria. All of them should be jobless. So agenda will not progress. If you were God, will you answer you? The Lord is good. Back to my message. Where was I? We're trying to read Exodus chapter 14 to emphasize a point. Let's get back to that. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that when Moses in verse 21 stretched his hand over the sea, the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night. Somebody say all night.
All night.
And turned the sea into dry land. My emphasis is the fact that it was what? All night. It wasn't 1 hour. It wasn't 2 hours. Must have been like 3, 4, 5 hours. I don't know the exact length of the time of the night that the Lord calculated there. But one thing is certain, it was many hours. And you will see, if we draw the parallel from that one, from chapter 17, in which they were fighting, throughout the time of the battle, the hands of Moses had to be upbearing the rod. We have established that the rod is the word of God. The problem, I said to us, I don't know whether it was on Tuesday or on Saturday, that one of the major problems in Christianity is the impression we have that God does his miracles quick, quick. Sometimes he does quick, quick. At other times he does it not so quick. But whatever he wants to do, eventually he will do it if he finds faith in the hearts of the people. What happens a lot of times that people draw back from faith. He said, if he shall draw back, it shows that people sometimes, they draw back. And my message today is that the rod must be lifted up and it must be kept up. Let me say something about habits again. You must have a rod habit. You don't remember a rod habit. Yes, it's important. That's why I said, look, write things on your wall. Play music that reminds you, are you getting me, of the word of God. Don't just play music because somebody says he's a Christian. And then when they sing, at least you have pacified your conscience that he's a Christian. Listen, I don't believe in that. If you want to listen to Two-Face, listen to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, what I mean is this. Get my point. The fact that somebody says he's a Christian is not what makes his music good. Some people, they were Christians until the door opened. And then they said, free me. They began to sing all kinds of things. I mean, we heard of the bunch, choir leader, not in any church, just anyhow church. Once one brother, Jay Martin, I know Jay Martin a bit, he sang a song and carried the scripture and murdered it. And he still goes to Dominion City. Very talented. I bought his album when it came out because I know him personally. That was the only one that was Christian. He said, get to drop your cross and follow me. Did you hear that? If you want to be, how did that song go again? Get to drop your cross and follow me. I said, are you mad? Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. James Martin said, put it down and follow me. No, go and get the album. That's his first album. He said, you have to drop your cross to follow Christ. I said, come, is it Christ you are following or TB Joshua? We must understand. Because you cannot follow Jesus by doing what he said you should not do. You know, there are mistakes musicians make. Say, are you sure this is not deliberate? Some people just think some things. You start believing this Illuminati story. Yes, you feel like asking the guy, say, come. You've been going to church. Yet you are singing, drop your cross to follow Christ. Now, that's by the way, that's not our message. I don't emphasize that. The fact that somebody calls himself a Christian, watch what they are saying. Are you getting my point? If they start singing for you, all my enemy, die, 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 delete the song. Thank God they are digital music. Just click, 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 delete. Delete. Use songs to remind yourself of the word of God. That's something I emphasize. Because what you do, okay, is to keep the rod lifted. And I'm trying to emphasize that you make it a habit. We are reading the fact that he said, it drew the thing all night. We know that if Moses withdraws his focus from what we read from that mountain, okay, they begin to lose the battle. It means, therefore, if you lose focus, if you lose the tenacity of lifting the word up throughout the battle, then life is a battle. Your so-called enemy starts getting stronger and you start getting weaker. Listen, I keep on saying this. What the world does is to lift up something else for us to look at. That's what the world does. They paint a gloomy picture of the economy because the price of crude oil, the price went down. Now, what I don't understand is that, well, what I mean is this. Is it surprising it went down? Once I sat down and decided to do small history on it, it checks the history. It has always gone down and then gone up. That is, anytime you see it going up, it's a wave. It will go down again. By the time Obasanjo came into power, some 16 years ago, okay, it was as low as $22 a barrel. People seem to forget. Abacha sold fuel at a time, crude oil, at $17 a barrel. Are you aware of that? It happened at the time. It keeps swinging. Yet they put the picture up for you every day as if this is the determination of your destiny. Listen, in these so-called trying times, it's time to keep that rod persistently up. You must never, that is, you keep it up persistently. Don't let anything bring it down from your hands. I said something earlier, the world does its thinking. And you wake up in the morning with a hungry stomach, lift up the rod. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, don't do too much reasoning. That's my message in modern times. Don't do too much reasoning. Commit your ways unto the hands of the Lord. Don't make too many specific plans and say, God, I want this one to come to pass. Just wake up in the morning and lift that rod up. Especially in a time like this, economic problems. Lift the rod up. When Ebola was threatening to come into Nigeria, everybody began to bathe with salt water. That was the time people were supposed to take the rod and lift it up. Thank God, crisis is good. Man, Nigerians pray though. So today, even before God answered, Ebola ran. That is, did he run away? What am I going to say? What happens in life? Things happen so that they will bring down your rod. And let me tell you something they do most of the time. Satan is not as stupid, He's not stupid. Let me tell you something. Satan will never come to you and tell you, bring down your rod. He won't say that. Say, child of God, stop confessing. What are you confessing? Why do you confess the word? Who told you the word works? He's not that stupid. You know what he does? I'll tell you, that's what life is. He tells you, you held this rod long enough for a long time. Okay? Take this other one now. Hold on small. What is that one? John Mason. Brian Tracy. What's the name of the other guy? Okay, Stephen Covey. There's not one other one. I'm trying to remember. He asks movies. Somebody said Donald Trump. One of the very big ones. I've forgotten his name now. Tall guy. He acts movies also. Anthony Robbins. Thank you. Anthony Robbins. Hold this one small too. It gives you 58 laws of power. Hold it also. That's what he does. Makes them look Christian. Tell you, give a book like The Secret. Hold it up also. Then people neglect. You see, let me tell you, the defense for the believer is that make sure it is what is written. That's what he does. Another thing he does is to keep the people busy. If I say this, you are going to laugh. Say, these times that are difficult, let's entertain them some more. So he releases more movies and more UEFA championship cups, competition all over the place, AFCON, World Cup, all of them will come in 1 month. What do you call it? Copa America. And the other day I was taught that there's one particular one, they say El Clasico. I thought it was a cup. They say it's not couple. There's only, there are two boys. When they meet, it's always El Clasico. Who and who now? Barcelona and Barcelona and Real Madrid. I thought it was a, first day I heard it, I thought it was a particular competition. So they are doing El Clasico. Let's go. Say, you are not watching El Clasico. I said, like, which country is that? Which tournament is it? Yeah, that's what it does. Keeps people very, very busy. They are so busy that the time they should have spent keeping their rod up while Joshua is out there fighting. Hur and Moses and Isaiah said, who scored the goal? Aaron said, I didn't watch that match. Oh. You didn't watch it. You missed, though. Meanwhile, Joshua, they died for that. No, listen, that's all Satan does. He will never come to the child of God and say, hey, drop your rod. I tell you, drop your rod. He won't. Just come and say, this is your rod, you've held it for some time. Hold this one and let's just keep this one down for a while. This one is also good. They look alike, don't they? Yes, this one is by Anthony Robbins. It also works. Try it. So the guy drops the rod for a moment and carries the other one. And Satan says he's been distracted. Give him a plasma TV with, what's the PVR? No, what do you call it? DSTV Explorer. Keep him busy. Make sure he doesn't lift this rod up again. And then when things don't work out well, you say, find him an explanation. It's not his fault. It's the economy. It's the price of crude. It's not your fault. Can't you see the way dollar went up from 140, became 280. You didn't stop there. Came 350. Your business died. Is it your fault? You say, no, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. What are you going to do? Want to find a visa? Yes. Do you want me to help you? Yes. Swear that your name is no longer this. This is now your new name. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. When people have dropped their rod, they start that all kinds of magic follows their life. My message to you today is this. Listen, there is a rod. It doesn't have to make sense. It can be the same word. Listen, what God does to quicken a word for you. It can be word as simple as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That rod looks so simple and familiar. But when it connects with you, hold it up and don't ever bring it down. Like somebody said, he said, you will just die. He said, at least write on my tombstone. This fellow died believing God. Make up your mind that if it is to die, I will die believing God. Listen, when you have that kind of determination, it might take a whole night, but that Red Sea will part. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. That Red Sea will part. Our rod is a simple word of God. No explanation. Like I said, we're talking about finances. He was rich. He became poor. That I, through his poverty, might be made rich. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. Again, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are you getting my point? Simple rod. Simple. Oh God, I pray we'll just get what I'm going to say. It is not even in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Lord is... If not so you like him, fine. But it's not necessary. What did I say? It's not necessary. If you like it like that, fine. I'm not saying it's a problem. But as simple as you wake up in the morning, sit at the edge of your bed, rub your eyes. Thank you, Father, for another day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It is written, you make all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus, I go about my day today. Just that thing is not, is life. Are you getting my point? You have issued out bullets, ammunition. It has gone out. It is working. Let me say it to you again. It will get you a job you did not apply for. See, the day you need to read the paper, even though you did not buy it, the word will give it to you. It will open the page for you and say, look, that's your job waiting. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It is not the amount of effort you put into keeping up with the advertisements. I remember once when I was in Lagos, just to let you know how things work. I just finished my NYC that time, and God didn't want me to work. And I know now he didn't want it, okay, for that period. So I was trying to get a job. Of course, I applied in Luth for my residency. We're now waiting. But that was the period I've told this story many times in which all I did was just listen to the gospel, listen to the word of God. All I didn't do, that's all I used to do, listen to messages, read. Any little money I had, I went to buy books, I would copy tapes, buy tapes. This was before the days of CDs. I did that all the time. And one particular day, I went to Luth to go and follow up. The nurses were on strike nationwide for many, many months. That's what was delaying my work from starting. I think I had gotten the job that, and they just said, okay, keep waiting for the strike to come to an end or something like that. So one particular day, I just got home. I just sat and said, Lord, I want to work. I'm tired of not having a job that I'm doing. Even though I look back now, maybe that's not the way he wanted it. Are you getting my point? Because sometimes we can be very stubborn, we human beings, okay? We children of God. And then sometimes he just obliges us. He says, okay. If I don't give this boy a job now, he will say that his faith is not working. But for me, that period, that was not what he wanted for me. At least I'm very certain in retrospect, because that was when I was doing my own preparation for ministry. I was really learning a lot that time. And so that day I just go home. I just said, Lord, I remember very well. I just sat. I said, Lord, please, I need a job. I want to start working. Now, what I'm saying so is that he gave me a job, but it was only nights. I'm a doctor, so I could get night job. Now, why am I telling this story? That next day, I pray this prayer, let's say, assume on a Monday. On a Tuesday, I was still at home. I had not gone out. Then somebody's looking for you. So I came out on the balcony. Come up now. He said, no, I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. 29, I think it's 25 something. Silver. He just told me the name of the street, Anifowoshe, Lagos. Write it down. So I wrote it down. He said, go there. They need a doctor. I prayed the prayer in the evening. By next morning, this guy just showed up at my door. It's one of my seniors from school. He said, go there. They need a doctor. And so I took the address and went there. So I sat down. Okay, you're ready to work. Now, the job we have is for night. I said, oh, fine, night. I prayed it in the evening. I didn't read any advice in the papers. In the morning, this brother came to my... He didn't even wait. He said, I'm in a hurry. Just write this address down. And they said, when are you ready to start? It was an immediate employment. I worked there for the next 13 months. How did I get a job? In the evening, I just said to the Lord, no, I want to start working. And next month, this guy came to my door. By evening that day, I had a job. What am I going to say? It's not just the one you scheme for. Are you getting my point? And listen, and God said, Banky, I don't want all of this stressing, gathering money, your mates want to buy that. No. I want you to be a preacher. He didn't say it like that too. I didn't hear it clearly. But he said, listen, this is how your life is going to be. So the next job I got was only night. I used to go to work from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And alternative weekends, I'll be at work. And of course, when you're not busy, I carry my tape recorder there, put it there. Sit down, listen to scripture morning, afternoon, and night. I just told that testimony to let you know, it's not only what you hustle for that God gives you. He can send the bird of prey from the east and the man of his purpose from a distant country. When you wake up in the morning, just lift the word up. Don't think for God's word. Just declare it. Like, for example, we've been saying here, this is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication. It's simple. It's in the scripture. It said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. So wake up in the morning, I am fruitful. I fill the earth, I multiply, I have dominion. Just scripture. I said the only thing you should do to it is rearrange the persons. That is, if it's first person, it shall come to pass that they say I. But don't slice and dice it so that in the name of Jesus, I make 1 million today. In the name of Jesus, I make 7,000 tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, I get 17 customers today. Forget all of those details. It's not godly. It's unnecessary. If you get more customers than you need, it will ruin your business. You're getting my point? The word reasons. He knows the exact number of customers you should get. That's what I'm going to preach today. If it takes a whole night, you know what night periods are? There are periods in which the money is not enough. Are you getting my point? Night period is when things are not working very well. It took a whole night for God to split that Red Sea. He could have dried the sea like this. Phew! But he chose not to do it like that. So many times in your life, he may not work that kind of instantaneous miracle. But your rod must not come down. That's why I tell Christians, listen, be careful that you don't set yourself up for unnecessary disappointment. What do I mean by unnecessary disappointment? You decide by yourself that a sign of progress is that between now and July, in my business, I will have made 2.5 million. So you now start declaring that every day. That's not the word of God. That one can fail. It doesn't mean God failed. It means the word you spoke is not God's word. That's all. That's what the problem is. Sometimes when we're practicing faith, we turn things around so that God said, I didn't say that, I can't confirm it. Then when it's not confirmed, we are discouraged. Hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. So we are discouraged. And that's what I'm preaching. Don't set yourself up for discouragement by giving specifics that the word of God did not give. I declare it's by faith. By the time I finish NYSC, I will have a car. I never told you that. It's no scripture for it. I'm not saying you can't desire it. Desire is good. Are you getting my point? But what do you lift up? The word. The rod. What do you confess? The word. For example, Psalm 23 verse 1 is so perfect for that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can make your request. Now, I've been saying that. You can say to the Lord, by this period, I will like to have this. I'm asking you for it. Paul said, when you do that, what does God give to you? What does he give to you? The peace of God. Instantly, that one comes. It's instant. That peace, you can collect it as soon as you are getting up from that place, you collect the peace. Because many answers that God wants to give, it's a process. And until you hit a particular point, he says, no, I'm not going to add Isaac to you. You are getting my point? He says, no, Isaac can't come at this point. So what do you keep on declaring? My name is Abraham, a father of many nations. He has made me. It's not by this time next year, I must have Isaac. Until he came by himself and said it, Abraham had no business declaring it. What Abraham could just simply declare is that my name is now Abraham. A father of many nations, he has made me. That's all he could declare. Christians put themselves in too many, be declaring things that God did not say. He said that, there's one book read, there's a fourth dimension by Yonggi Cho. I mean no disrespect. People say now you now go out, after you ask God for it, you now go and declare to everybody that now I have that thing. Now be testifying that praise God, I have a car now. Praise God, I have a car now. I won't lie to you. I don't read Bible small. I won't advise that. Think about it. People now start saying that, where is the car? It's in the realm of the spirit. Then why didn't you just tell us straight? Brethren, I have a car right now in the realm of the spirit. And we'll say amen with you. And nothing wrong with that. Listen, after all these years of studying the word of God, I decided that it's not necessary. I'd rather say something like this. My car is coming. Yeah. It's coming. When is it going to get here? Don't know the specific date, but it's coming. I've asked the Lord for it, and it's coming. Until that time, what do I declare? Again, I keep on saying it. The young lions can hunger, they can suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. I can declare boldly, I have everything good for today in the name of Jesus. I have it, everything good for today in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And he said, I will not lack anything. So right now, I don't lack. How come you don't have a car? Because I don't need it. You sure you don't need it? That's his judgment. If I needed it to be here. It's his judgment. But my car is coming. Believe me, it's coming. When is it going to get here? I don't know for sure. But it's coming. What am I saying? We keep the rod lifted. In the midst of economic circumstances, we keep the rod lifted. We don't keep our desires lifted. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
What do we keep lifted? Is the rod. That is what is lifted up. That's my preaching for today. That's what I came here to teach today. It might take a whole night. But we must never, and like I was saying earlier, once it is the word you are keeping lifted, it is easy. It's when you keep the other things lifted that you have a problem. If it's the word, it is easy. Let me say this as I close. Pick up from there next time. I wanted to do a bit of that, but my time is really far gone. I said at the beginning, every situation, every circumstance in life has a rod. You don't have to change it. It's not like this one is not working. It's just taking a whole night. What do I mean? There's a set of teachings we did some years ago here titled The Sayings of God. There I tried to explain that God has something specific he has said about everything in life. Take as an example. You know, I told that the world is structured to ensure that your rod goes down and another stick is given to you. For example, you've crossed the age of 40, you're approaching 50, you're crossing 50. The world tells you things. It's good. You have a lot of twigs, sticks, leaves they want you to lift up. You know you are old now. You are going to become slower. You will not remember as much as you used to remember. You know you will start forgetting. You know you can't run the way young people used to run. No. Don't enjoy yourself. You know, they start telling you everything. You will not see as well as you used to see. All of these things are recorded in medical literature. They have statistics to show that 85% of men between this age and this age, we have this amount of increase in their prostate size. And they will describe all of those things for you. And then you read it and call it medical information. And churches will organize program. One day I was sitting in my house. I was hearing radio. Some of my colleagues were there. I remember one reverend sister, and I was so disappointed. I said, reverend sister, this your sisterhood is not reverend at all. Because what you have said today is against the word of God. They said, what do you want to say to everybody? They said it was Glaucoma Awareness Day. She said, preach glaucoma the way you preach the word of God. That was the final word on radio. A reverend sister. I think she's a doctor or a nurse or something. So they are part of the glaucoma awareness team. And they spoke on radio and spoke, telling people how they are doing free eye checks and all of that. And she said, so they say any final word from each of the people. Her own tongue was, preach glaucoma like you preach the word of God. That day I said, no, this God is patient. Maybe in our ignorance. But that's what the world does. The word will tell you, preach cancer awareness. Preach diabetes. One day I was eating sugar. One of my junior colleagues, I emphasize the word junior, because she should have listened to me, a senior colleague. It's not pride. I know more than she does. He said, that's not good. I said, what is wrong with it? He said, diabetes. I said, I will not get diabetes. Forget that thing. And I only ate this number of sugar because I need people like you will talk. So I wanted to reply. So I was planning for you ahead. The world wants to give you wrong roads. When you are preaching that age, instead of getting medical literature, that will be preaching glaucoma, preaching cancer, preaching diabetes, preaching prostate enlargement, please buy a Bible. Open to Isaiah chapter 53. Open to Psalm 92. Pick those scriptures, put them together, and lift up the rod from the moment approaching middle age hits your mind. The moment you start looking and you're not seeing clearly, get rods and keep them. It may take a whole night. That's my emphasis for today. We'll start declaring it. When they say, you see, preach glaucoma, I say, no, I will preach the word of God. I have a covenant established on better promises. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not dim. His strength did not abate. I will quote that every morning. Tell glaucoma, go and find somebody else. Go and meet that reverend sister. She will tell you who you can have. She will tell you who you can go and visit. Go to her clinic. Sit down there. Don't come near my house. The word of God is medicine. It's tangible medicine. Oh God, that's another thing we should understand. This word of God, Apostle, write that one down again. We need to do another seminar titled The Word of God. Let us come and talk about that word for like 7 days. Because if we don't understand him yet, I don't want to say it. Because it's a living person. It's a living being. It's a living thing. It's a real substance. These are the things that the word of God is. It becomes flesh. It becomes medicine. When it's properly taken, it can convert itself into an antibiotic and kill bacteria. When you take it properly, it converts itself into an antihypertensive and kills hypertension. It's not, we are not wishing. He does not understand this is incurable. Why do people have so much faith in people that decide that things that actually kill are incurable? We had a seminar the other day. I was supposed to speak in my office. They said I should talk about the role of accurate diagnosis in the management of metastatic breast disease. You see, the word metastatic, it's only cancers that use it. Of course, we sat down, did all the preparation. There's this brilliant professor from Zaria. That guy is brilliant. And when you first see him, you won't know he's that brilliant. He's an oncologist. He's a radio oncologist. So he treats people with, he treats only cancers. That's the only job he does. You're doing radiotherapy and drugs. The man is brilliant. When he's talking like this, he's tough, eh? Arranged inside his body. Brilliant. When he finished speaking, I was supposed to speak before him, but he spoke before me because he had to catch a flight. He was rushing out of town to get to Abuja to address something that federal government was doing the next day. I wasn't here, you know? So he kept on talking, When you use these drugs, when you move this one, you remove this, you change it for this. At such times, you can't come back in 1 year if you have met this particular dose. Then, in fact, it's been shown that women like this can live another 9 months. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
in all his brilliance, he gave you 9 extra months. Then he talk like this. When you add this drug is very good, been shown to be good. It's very good. It improves survival from 24 months to 29 months. And they were just speaking, I was shaking my head. And they were explaining that one particular drug there, that one, you take it for a number of courses. Each course comes to about 1 million naira a month. And you take it from for loading dose. 10 months. No. We quickly did a mental calculation and came to 12 million. One single course takes about 9 to 11 months. Came to 12 million naira. And if you were there, the way the man was speaking, you know, when I got up to speak at a particular point in time, I pointed out to everybody. I said, you see everything that prof was saying? Because they were saying I had to say some things. I said, everything that man was saying, I said, very, very true. I said, but don't forget, doses have side effects too. It's not cure. No, because I forgot what led to it. I was saying some things. I think somebody asked a question. I can't remember for sure now. But I had to point it out. I said, forget that brilliant talk. But one woman, when I came back to sit down, one woman beside me said, that she recognizes me. I said, from where I came to their church to preach. I said, okay. He said, is everything they are saying, is this so? I said, no, ma, it's not so. I said, this is just a hospital, so this is the way things are said here. No, I said it to her straight. I said, it's a hospital, this is the way things are said. She said, okay. Then what about, and I began to, we started another small sermon there. I was explaining, I said, the problem with a lot of people is that they don't really trust God, they don't believe God. Just that when things come to the end like this, they start looking for help in any corner. And God says, sometimes you will call upon me, I will not answer. Because there was a time, I said, we're just discussing things like that. But why am I saying all of these things? If you see the way people hold on to these things rigidly. Look, the drug we're talking about, it doesn't do anything, like I told you, that was one of the drugs that adds 9 months to your life. 12 million naira. Buy 9 months. You go tell your family, take the money, let me and you die 9 months early. No, but we believers, that's what I'm making. We should exercise our faith in God totally. Think about it. This amount of money, taking over about a year, just to extend life statistically for just a few months. Why don't we build our faith now? Hold up our rod from the beginning. Not commit all our faith to people who admit that they don't have the answer. They admit it. I said something the other time. Even before we look for medical help, because God can use doctors, he does. I read the story in Ben Carson's book. He told you the story of a boy that had been given up for dead by all the doctors, but the parents prayed. They prayed. And finally they came to Ben Carson and said to him, the Holy Spirit said we should go and meet you, that you will treat this boy and he will be well. And he checked all the medical records and said what the other doctors said, they are correct. They said to him, we are sure. We prayed. And the Lord said we should go and meet you and that you will treat this boy and he will be fine. He said their faith was so strong that he had to oblige them. Young boy, less than 10, he had a particularly bad kind of brain tumor growing in a bad part of the brain. Double strike. So he said, okay, let me just see you. Let me just do something. So he took the boy to the theater, opened the brain, you know, looked in that area. Oh, this tumor is bad. This tumor is bad. They said, but since I'm already here, let me just remove as much of it as is reasonable. So he removed a bit of the tumor. So I was sent to my pathologist. So they sent to the lab. After the surgery, of course, the result came out. The same thing. Horrible tumor. The boy, it's not like he survived. He said, but because he removed a bit of it, he did a scan of the brain head again and noticed that the tumor was not actually growing where they thought it was growing. It only wrapped around the critical part of the brain, the brain stem. He said, oh, it's actually separate. Ah, he said, if that's the case, then we can touch it. Because before, they thought they couldn't touch it because of where it was growing. So he took the young boy back to theater. And this time around, he now saw it clearly and cleared all the tumor, cleared everything, as much of it as he could clear. And then, of course, by the next day, the boy began to recover. A few days later, the boy was conscious, you know. So he now told the parents that he was very happy. Ah, well, thank them for pushing him to do what he did. And I said, the next course of treatment is chemotherapy. And the parents said, it will not be necessary. He said, at that point, he was ready to listen to them on anything. Because if you know medicine well enough, chemotherapy is deadly. The other day, I went to work. I saw one of my friends, a Christian, one of the Full Gospel chapter presidents. I saw him. I said, Oga, what are you doing here? He said, it's not a good place. I'm seeing you this morning. He said, it's not a good place. It's not a good place. He said, one of our brothers just died. I said, what happened? He said, he had this particular disease. So they started chemotherapy 5 days ago. He took 4 courses of treatment and died. The drugs just killed him. Without the drugs, I'd live maybe another 6 months. But they gave him drugs for 4 days, he died. Some people will survive small, and that particular treatment they were treating the guy for, now leave him around that 1 month. The disease is not a hear word. There are diseases people get. They'll tell the doctor, move back, call all the pastors. They will pray until the fellow either gets well or dies, whichever way is better, because the doctor will like the same thing. I know what I'm doing. Telling you. The Lord is good. So that was why. So the parent just said to Ben Carson, said no, that it will not be necessary. The normal course of treatment was now go on for chemotherapy. He said, they just told him flat, it won't be necessary. That what you have done is all you are supposed to do. We are going home. Discharged them and told them, okay, see me in a few weeks. The boy came back, fine. See me 6 months later. The boy came back, fine. See me next year. At the time I was writing that book, the boy was fine. He was going to school. He was growing. The tumor left the boy alone. Did their faith work? Yes. Did they use a doctor? Yes. But their faith was never in that. You see, because they told the man, no, you have gone. That's enough. God says, stop here. That's what I'm going to say. Even when God has to lead us to use all of these other methods, are you getting my point? Let us have our faith in him and keep the rod of God up all the time. I was talking about the aging process. It gets to a point, it's not about, is it working, is not working. It may take a whole night. Sometimes it's good to start this rod early. Keep the rod up. Look at it every day. Jesus, we read the other day, when Moses put up that serpent, he said, anybody who will look up at it, what are the words again? steadily, attentively, with a... One of the words is with a steady and absorbing gaze. That's what I'm teaching. That's what I'm teaching. Let's rise to our feet. Don't drop the rod. Keep it up. That's what I'm teaching. We are not dropping it. Last time we were lifting up the rod concerning health. Remember, I said it may take a whole night. I also said, listen, God has something He has said about everything. Please let me recommend that set of messages again. The Sayings of God. Please, I'm recommending the messages. Go and get the messages, okay? Sayings of God. It's about 13 different messages in which I picked different things. I picked health. I picked finances. I picked long life. I picked different things and brought out the scriptures concerning each one. What we are supposed to do is take the scripture and just lift the word of God up. Let's begin to lift God's word up again. Let's start with thanksgiving. Let's thank Him. Say, Lord, thank You. Because with You, nothing is incurable. Nothing is incurable. Lord, nothing is incurable. Thank You. Nothing is incurable. Say, Lord, Your provision is not decided by the economy. Thank You. Heaven's provision is not priced according to international price of crude. The euro does not determine it. Whether Britain leaves the European Union or not doesn't affect heaven's provisions. Give God thanks for that. Lift up your voices and thank Him. Say, Lord, thank You. Because You are God. You are the judge of the whole earth. Say, Lord, thank You. You hold my life. Your word sustains me. Thank You for authority. Thank You for the ability to wield Your authority by the word You have placed in my mouth, in our mouths as believers. Say, Lord, we thank You. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Use those words I'm using. Use your own words, but make sure you are grateful and you open your mouth to show that gratitude. Thank Him that even though it may take a whole night, you know your sea is parting. You are passing through. You are escaping from the Egyptians. And you are entering into your promised land. Say, Lord, thank You. Say, in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge You as my God. Say, thank You for Your word. It works. It's alive. The word is alive. Say, I lift up my rod. Say, thank You for the rod. You put the word in my mouth. That's my rod. Like we're doing last time, let's thank Him for health again. Because Jesus died. This is my rod. Jesus died. Say it aloud to God. It's my rod. He died and nailed my sickness to the cross. Say it, by His stripes I have been healed. He's able to save to the uttermost anyone who draws near to God by Him. He's able to heal to the uttermost. Say, Lord, I draw near to God. I draw near to You. I draw near. I draw near. I draw near. Therefore, I know I am saved from every deadly disease. Even if it is genetic, I'm saved. If it's caused by something I did, I'm saved. If it's caused by something I ate, I'm saved. Caused by an infection, I am saved. They say it's age, I'm saved. Why? He's able to save to the uttermost. Declare it upon your body. This is the rod. I spread it over me. I spread it over me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I spread the rod over me. I break every hindrance, every seed that's preventing health from coming in. It's broken by that word, by that rod. That rod says it clearly. By His stripes, I have been healed. That rod speaks. It says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, is giving life to my mortal body. It's energizing every part of my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, making my eyes see clearly, removing dementia from my brain, healing my stroke. They said it was incurable. No, the word is giving life, rejuvenating it. Healing my nose, my sinuses, my mouth, my throat. Everything in my chest and my stomach, my back, my arms. My inside, my stomach, everything inside, my liver, my kidneys, my intestines. Everything down to my hips, everything inside, my legs, my knees, all the way down to my toes is giving life to my mortal body. I raise the word over it, the rod. Parts every obstruction to health. It sends me help that I need. The word brings me food and clears away every deficiency. That word, I lift it up. What is the word? It's the word of healing. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. Somebody needs to write that on his wall. Somebody needs to write that thing as your screensaver. So that you look at it every time. Don't make excuses for any disease. God said to Jeremiah, don't raise another rod. Do not say, this is why I'm sick. Do not say, this is where it began from. Do not say, the doctor said. No. Everything I tell you to say, speak only that one. So Jeremiah, from now on, you will use my words. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Say, Lord, your word that's in my mouth, I declare it over my body today. I'm not making excuses. Sometimes they say, oh, it's because of your weight. That's why your knees are bad. I said the word can think. The word can remove the weight if that is necessary. Just speak to the knees. Say to the knees, I raise the rod of God over you. I speak to you, receive life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. And is giving life to my mortal body. That's what he said in Romans chapter 8. He took my diseases, nailed it to his cross. Declare it upon your toes, upon every part of your body. Every part. The word will bring help if it's needed. If your faith will carry the doctor, he will bring it. But lift up only the word. Don't lift up a medical journal. Lift up the word. Speak concerning your finances. Don't make excuses. Don't say, I am broke because of the economy. I am broke because I lost my job. I am broke because dollar is expensive. My business is bad. No, those are the wrong rods. Don't lift them up. Don't lift them up. This is what you will say. I will not sink because of the storm. I will not sink because of the waves. I have the face of God. And because of that, I lift up the rod of God. That's what you say. What is the rod? He was rich. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus. He was rich. And he became poor. I, through his poverty, have been made rich. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He did not say, I have a job, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is, the word is able to bring a job or bring money, whatever it is. The word works. Declare God's word. Say, he makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. Say, in the name of Jesus, grace abounds towards me. That grace opens doors for me. That grace brings help to me. That grace brings businesses. That grace brings clients. That grace brings wisdom. Favor comes to me. Declare it upon your life and upon your business. The Lord surrounds the righteous round about with favor as with a shield. Say, I am surrounded with favor. I am surrounded with favor. I will not go down because of the economy. Because the rod is upon my sea. The rod is high lifted on the mountain. As I go about my business, the rod is lifted upon my mountain. That rod says, my seed will be mighty on the earth. My business is my seed. My career is my seed. It will be mighty on the earth. The rod says simply, the Lord is my shepherd. And for that reason, I shall not want. The rod went out and spoke. It said to me, be fruitful and multiply. It said, fill the earth and subdue it. He said, have dominion. He said, I have dominion. I am fruitful. I multiply. I fill the earth. That's the word. That's the word. That's the word over your business. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion. That is the word over your business. The price of the dollar will not be able to bring it down. Because when the mouth of God commands, His Spirit will go out and gather. Favor is gathered to you in the name of Jesus. Help is gathered to you in the name of Jesus. Resources are gathered for you in the name of Jesus. Doors are open to you in the name of Jesus. This is the rod of God. I am the Lord. I am the one that gives you power to get wealth. This is the rod of God. The Lord gives me power, the anointing, the ability to create wealth. I am a wealth creator. I am a wealth creator. I am not a beggar. I am the head. I am not the tail. In the name of Jesus, he said to Jeremiah, I have appointed you this day over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. Listen, I just feel like telling us something. We are closing now. I just feel like telling us something. There's a technique here for praying. You know, he said to Jeremiah, I have appointed you this day. He put his word in his mouth. I have put you over kingdoms, over nations, to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow. He said, and to build and to plant. What does that mean? If you see anything that's obstructing your way, you're supposed to pluck it up, break it down, destroy it, and overthrow. Now, this is what mistake Christians miss when they are praying. Say, this thing, I break you down. It's not full prayer. That's less than half. You don't just say, I break you down. You know what the thing is saying? Why? Are you getting my point? How would Jeremiah break down? He is with the word of what? Of who? Of God. He lays the rod. Let me give an example. They say that, maybe you're a contractor, you've applied for a contract, they say you don't know somebody, you don't know, and you've heard it again and again and again. What most people do is say, who do we know? They start making calls. No, that's an obstruction. It has to be broken down. It has to be uprooted. It has to be pulled down. Are you getting my point? It has to be overthrown. So how do you do? You say, I don't know somebody. I break you down. No. You go back home. Say, Lord, then what is the word for those who don't know people? Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
So God will now say, for, as an example, I surround the righteous with favor as with a shield. So next time somebody say, you don't know somebody, say, I know everybody. Why? The Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. That's how you break that down. And you are careful to respond. You never sympathize. Let me not offend. Do you know somebody? Say yes. Who do you know? In this one, I know God in heaven. David said, who do I have in heaven but thee? For that reason, upon this earth, I have desired no human connection. Are you getting my point? Begin to break down. Just take a few minutes. Break something down. Just look for something to break down. You are getting my point. Break something down. Say your ministry is not moving forward. Why? You don't have money for advertisement. He said, what? Say, in the name of Jesus, the Lord will advertise me. The breaths of the air will carry the word of God. He said, it is written. It is too small a thing, God said to Isaiah, for you to be my servant to redeem Israel alone. He said, I will make you a light to the nations. That's the word. Breaks down obstruction. Break something down. Say, in the name of this obstruction, hear the word of God. The Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. You can't stand in my way. He said, there's no capital. He said, no. God will send me help from above. He said, he sends a man of my purpose, or of his purpose from a distant country. If God has to send a man from another country to come and help me, I will get everything I need. And I don't have to know him ahead of time. So in the name of Jesus, I break this down. We'll break down with the word of God. And last of all, he said, to build and to plant. Let's begin to build again. It's with God's word. The same word. Like I said, you don't need to change the rod. Build. Say, I'm fruitful. And I'm multiplying. I am filling the earth. In all that I do, I prosper. In all that I do, I prosper. In all that I do, I prosper. Let us begin to give him thanks so that we can close. Give him thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am above alone.
I am above alone.
I am not beneath.
I am not beneath.
I am the head.
I am the head.
I am not the tail.
I am not the tail.
I am seated above.
I am seated above.
I am not lying down below.
I am not lying down below.
I am above the devil.
I am above the devil.
I am above the economy. I'm above diseases.
I'm above diseases.
In Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am above all.
He that is from above
is above all.
I
have been born from above.
I am with God,
seated on his right hand,
with Christ Jesus.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I have overcome. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say, all curses have been broken.
All curses have broken.
I always like to say this. Nobody should tell you, come and break a curse. It's been broken.
Yes.
Listen, if you give any offering to break a curse, you will get two more. So forget all of these things. I keep on telling Christians, if you want to give money, give money. Are you getting my point? It doesn't break a curse. If you want to give money, what do? Give money. And I think you should give money. In fact, give money between now and tomorrow. Just give to somebody, even though you are broke and you have only 500. Share it into two. That's somebody 200. Be a giver. Amen?
Amen?
But please, that's not what's breaking the curse. I'm saying to you, your curse has been broken.
Amen.
Don't fast to break a curse. It's not necessary. The curse has been broken.
Amen.
If you want to fast, fast for serious thing. Like, God, I need to understand scripture better. Go to a corner and read. Declare God's word. I have understanding. The spirit of understanding is with me. In the name of Jesus, God has opened my eyes. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding has been enlightened. Do that. But don't say, I want to fast to break a curse. Because the curse has been broken.
Amen.
Every curse in your life has been broken.
Amen.
How? Because Jesus died for it. That's it. He has paid the price. Let's not take anything from this Lord Jesus Christ. Annoying. When you watch TV, sometimes it just offends your soul. Offends your soul. It's annoying. Jesus has broken the curse in your life. You are, somebody said, give an offering for three generations. So what about the fourth generation now? Listen, the sins of three generations and the ten generations, whatever before your own, they all disappeared in Christ. What did I say? Say it again. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am free. Another thing, even if you are the one that put your hand into trouble, I say to you again, you have been forgiven.
Amen.
Therefore, you are free.
Amen.
HIV is driven out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are free.
Amen.
You won't die early.
Amen.
You will live long.
Amen.
I don't care the blood pressure they measured yesterday. Today it is down.
Amen.
I don't care what the blood sugar was that was measured yesterday. I declare to you in the name of Jesus, today it is down.
Amen.
You will live long.
Amen.
You will not die young.
Amen.
You will fulfill the purpose of God for your life.
Amen.
I like to say this, as you travel, safety is your portion.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your vehicle.
Amen.
If that road, that car was ordained for accident that day, now that you have entered it, the accident has been postponed.
Yes,
if the people will repent, it will be eradicated forever.
Amen.
But while you are there, you'll be a deliverance for the people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who are with you, they are safe.
Amen.
Because of your presence.
Amen.
Paul was inside the ship. The ship was wrecked. But he said an angel said nobody will die. And nobody died because of Paul. Like for you also, the same thing. Your family, they are saved because they are yours.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will show your father mercy.
Amen.
He will show your mother mercy.
Amen.
He will show your brother mercy.
Amen.
He will show your sister mercy.
Amen.
Your children are born in mercy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall them.
Amen.
See, those your children, they are signs and they are wonders.
Amen.
Every negative thing in their life is a story that will be told later because the glory of God will be manifested in their lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Go home and leave the rod of God over their heads.
Amen.
Say to them, you are the seed of the righteous.
Amen.
And you will be mighty upon this earth.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say to your child, Satan will not get you.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said something. Parents need to learn to activate that. He said, all the ones that God has given me, I have kept them. All your children, they are kept.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All your children, they are kept.
Amen.
None of them will be an unbeliever.
Amen.
None of them will smoke.
Amen.
None of them will use drugs.
Amen.
None of them will be a harlot.
Amen.
None of them will be a whoremonger.
Amen.
None of them will die early.
Amen.
All of them will manifest the glory of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, go back. If you have a child, you didn't give a name that speaks of destiny. Go and add one tonight. Go and add one. Give them. Look, when I was naming my children, I made sure that, because I had this revelation beforehand, I gave each one of them a name that has God in it, that is prophetic. I call one Akinolu, God's warrior. Olubenga means God has lifted me up. The Lord has lifted me up. I told my daughter, you know, her name is Deborah. You're a prophetess. Are you getting my point? And her name, Yoruba name means that God has given me joy and wealth. And the last one has the most dangerous of the names. The name is so long, it's a sentence. If you call the boy Victory, you abbreviated his name. Like you call me Banky. That's why his name is Victory. His name is Victory over the devil, over sickness, over poverty, over diseases, over all the works of the devil. Now, so we write them. Except just to be able to fit inside paper. Now, shorten down to Victory. As I don't call the boy Victor. His name is not Victor. His name is what? Victory. Because it's a sentence. Summary of his name is Devil, you don't die. Isaiah said, I and the children whom the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. All your own children, they are for signs and for wonders in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Even if you don't have them yet, they are coming. And they will come as a sign and as a wonder.
Amen.
They will speak of God's goodness.
Amen.
They will speak of God's power.
Amen.
And they will give him the glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks. Father, we thank you. Okay, want to go? Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
surely we have passed out of death,
and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody on your left and on your right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication.